answer to that is, and that really is our first point, the problems of the world started at the beginning, because we know the origin of all of this, that it wasn't that way at the first. And when God made the world and he made the people of the world, he didn't make them flawed. God is not a mad scientist assembling random body parts to build his own Frankenstein monster. He made them perfect in every way and innocent in every way. We know that the original people, Adam and Eve, were created in perfection. We also know the story about what happened when they believed a lie and then rebelled against God, because they did believe a lie. They believed the lie of the enemy of God, who told them that God was holding back on them. Eve is the one who believed the lie and then was deceived by Lucifer, by the serpent. But Adam believed it, or disobeyed God with his eyes wide open. Adam really made a decision between God and Eve, and he chose Eve, and he ate of the apple, and the two of them rebelled against God. So what we do know from what we have already seen in the pages of Scripture is that the world was cursed as a result of that. And so the difficulties that we experience today are the consequence of that curse. And it's important people understand that. It's important that they grasp that their part of life is like a slice of bread in a very long loaf. And they need to appreciate that this long loaf has an end and a beginning and an end. That it started in perfection. That God, when he made the world, he made it full of joy. When he made mankind, he made them to have happiness and to prosper. But the result of the curse has brought about sin on our planet. And there is a day that is coming when there will be a new earth. There is a day that's coming when it will be restored. And we're living in this long loaf in between, and a lot of folks think that everything's about their slice in the middle. It's sort of like a parade, and the viewpoint difference that you have when you're standing on the curb and you're watching them come by, and all you ever see is sort of one float after the other. Versus if you are in a tall building, or even in a plane, overhead, and you look down and you see the parade from the beginning of it to the end of it. And as you look at that parade, you can see it all in one context. The Lord's given us the bird's eye view of life, of history. This Bible covers it all, from Genesis chapter 1 when it all begins to Revelation chapter 21 when it all ends. He is the one who gives to us this panorama of history so that we can understand. And we can appreciate the fact that while we live in one slice, we are the product of everything that's come after, before that, and everything that's going to come after that. And that's the lesson I think that we need to help folks understand, is that these problems were not God's design. And that the curse that's on the world, the broken lives, the difficult people, the tragedies that are encountered in fires and floods are the result of the curse. It's the result of sin. Sin has come upon the planet, and therefore people suffer. But our second point is simply this, that the problems of the world then became God's problems. And this is the thing that's amazing about what the Scripture tells us, is that the God who created all this, who could have at the very beginning said, well, forget this. This turned out unfortunately tragic. But of course we know that God knew where it was going to happen from the very beginning. And he had already made a plan for how he was going to repair that. The book of Ephesians tells us that Jesus died before the foundation of the world. That is, the decision that Jesus would come was made before the world was ever created, before Adam and Eve drew their first breath, before God made any of it. He also determined to solve the problem. And so he solves the problem by sending his son. He says to Joseph in this dream, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. You see, God loved the world that he made. He loved it so much that he gave us his only son to redeem us. Because he alone could solve the problem. God is the only one who could solve the world's challenge, the world's problem, the world's difficulty. I read an account about an interview that someone had with Larry King, the great interviewer. And he asked Larry King, if you could interview anyone from history, who would you choose to interview? Larry King responded immediately, said, I would choose Jesus. So the person said, really? Well, what would you ask Jesus? Larry King said, I would ask him, were you really born of a virgin? Oh boy, that's just the point. Because he was virgin born. He was the divine child. And so the scriptures tell us that this is an act of the Holy Spirit whereby God himself took up residence in the human race, being born by Mary, who was the willing person to participate in that, but being born in perfection, being born in innocence, in holiness. See, one of the things that it's important for us to understand is that the curse that it was upon the earth had its descendancy, had its authority through the male heir. And so everyone in the world who has a father has the father's curse all the way back to Adam, because Adam was the one who sinned with his eyes wide open. And what the Lord did when he put on Adam the responsibility to bear that for the whole human race, and it extended to the whole human race, he created the opportunity then for righteousness to be given to all who would believe. The same way Romans chapter 5 makes that point over and over and over, five times in Romans chapter 5. The Apostle Paul says, just as the first man, Adam, sinned, and through that sin, death came. In the second man, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, righteousness reigns for all who would believe in him. And so the Lord took the problem of human sin upon himself, and he alone could solve that problem. And he did it, thirdly, by the substitution of himself. So I really think that it's important when you and I have conversations with people and we learn that there's someone who's had a tragedy and they blame God, to understand that they're myopic in their view and they need some help to expand it, to understand the whole story, to understand everything that's going on, to realize that it didn't begin that way. It began in perfection. But it became that way as a result of sin. And it's been heartbreaks in people's lives ever since that time. And it will continue until such a day as it is. say, well, how can somebody be two things at the same time? In Jesus Christ, he is fully man, fully God, in one person. But then the Godhead is three in one. And so we just simply recognize that these things are truths at a level past our capacity to understand them, or at least to explain them. But because of his humanity, he could be our substitute, and because of his deity, he was the perfect God, the perfect one. And so he became the sacrifice. And it tells us then, our third point, the problems of the world have a solution. And so God is leaving it that way. This long loaf, which has a heel on one end, has a heel on the other end. It had a beginning on one end, and on the other end, it has a new heaven and a new earth. There is a solution to this. The end of the curse will be a new earth. And I think folks need to understand this. When they're going through trials and difficulties, they need to know that the day is coming when the Lord will bring all of this to an end. When the Lord will bring new life and a new earth. No more curse, no more sin, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, and no more tears. Revelation tells us that. That the end of this curse is awaiting us. Now the actual critic would be able to say, well, now wait a minute. If God can do that, I want to do it right now. Because my heart is heavy and it's sad. I don't feel good, and I mourn the loss of this loved one or whatever, and so I'm done with it. I want to know, why is God not pulling the trigger now? To which I think it is appropriate for us to say to an individual like that, because I've had them say it to me, aren't you glad that he didn't do that 100 years ago? Because you wouldn't be here. There'd be no you to have ever known experienced any of the joy that went before your sorrow or your difficulty. And so it is. We don't know when the end is. We do know this, that at the end, it will be the end. We know because the Lord Jesus said that in heaven they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are more like the angels, that there will come a time when the growth of the human race, when the birthing of new children will stop. And the new heaven and the new earth will not have a growing humanity. And so when you consider the extraordinary love of God that is involved in giving to humanity this long loaf, that our little slice becomes trivial in the light of that and what God is doing over the long term. He's making it possible for a very large number of people to be born, to take on life, and then to be able to enter into that new heaven and the new earth. So the end of the curse will be the beginning of that new creation. And so what do we do in the meantime? What do we do now? Well, we walk by faith. We walk by faith that is actually filled with joy, because faith is awaiting God's plans with the joy to be a part of it. And if you have an encounter with somebody who is angry with God, if you have an encounter with someone who's gone through a hard time, and if they're troubled with God, they're disappointed in God, they don't understand God's plan or his purposes, help them see it. Help them see the whole thing. Give them a wide-angle view of what it is that God is doing. That he made it perfect at the beginning, and he is going to bring it back to perfect at the end. Christmas accessible to the people who don't understand the whole thing. They think it's about Santa Claus and presents, and it has something to do with the birth of Jesus. But they need to understand that that birth is the birth that sets us free. The virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. It is our obligation as believers to help those who are confused and don't understand that this is a long-running story. It has a beginning. It has an end. And we ought to help people understand what that is. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the extraordinary love that you would create us in the first place, knowing that we would rebel, and that you would create the plan for our redemption, knowing what it would cost you. What an extraordinary love. And so, Lord, we pray for those who do not yet understand, who are lost in their own sorrow and grief, that you would open their eyes, and that you would give to us, Lord, courage and conviction and clarity to help them see the big picture of how much a great God loves humanity. So help us this Christmas season.